Today, as we come to the table,
don't be telling people God's not going to use you, Mark. Stop telling, just do it. And if they're going to come to the Lord, they're going to come to the Lord. If they don't, they don't. Why do I say this? I have no idea. No, I really do. I really do. It took, as I said, 20 men, get this, 20 men to open the Nicanor gate. Guys, you might be number 3 out of their 20. You might be number 7 out of their 20. You might be number 19 out of their 20. In other words, throughout people's life, God sends people to try to open the gate. Hey, has anybody shared the Lord with you? Oh man, I shared. Nobody responded. Don't worry, you were number 11.
God desires all men to open their hearts to Him, and so He will send one after another to speak the truth and show them His love. Sometimes it takes one person and one time to reach their heart and have them open their life to God, but more often it takes many times with many different people sharing. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark is here to remind you today not to lose heart if you're sharing the gospel and not seeing results. You might be the second person to share, but they won't open up until they've heard it 10 or 20 times. That doesn't mean your sharing was worthless, though. Keep on sharing. Keep on witnessing. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 3 as he continues his message, A Marred Man at a Beautiful Gate.
Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. And quite literally, remember, they'd given everything to the church at this point. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Is that great or what? In other words, I may not have all the answers to all your problems. I may not be able to help you financially. I may not be the best counselor in the world. I may not know how to solve all your family's problems and how to keep your marriage from falling apart, but I can give you Jesus. If you want to receive Him right now, you can be born again and you can have eternity in heaven, then He'll help you with all those problems. Is that not powerful or what? Some of you are thinking, I don't have anything to offer. I don't have anything. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of this. I don't have a lot of ability. I'm not gifted in that. You've got the greatest gift that everyone in the world needs, and it's Jesus Christ. You've got that gift. We need to offer that gift to people. He's the answer. And I love it because Peter says, I don't have all the other stuff, but what I do have, I'll give you. I love the simplicity and I love the power. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I find it interesting, according to a lot of scholars, they believe the beautiful gate was what we call the Nicanor Gate, or what the Jews called the Nicanor Gate, which incidentally, out of all the gates that entered the temple, it was the only one that didn't have silver and gold. All the other gates were lined with silver and gold. This one particular gate was lined only in bronze. It was massive. They said it took 20 priests, 20 men, just to open the Nicanor Gate. So this huge, massive wooden door that was covered in bronze, and all the pastors had to get together in the morning and open the door for the day, 20 of them, and this massive thing going on, the only one that didn't have silver and gold, and yet they called it the beautiful gate. Why? Because of its intricacy, the enormity of it, how amazing it was. This gate was beautiful, so they called it the beautiful gate. And I find it interesting here, the symbolism, because being the only gate that didn't have silver and gold, it was the only gate this guy laid at. And he said, look, even as there's no silver and gold to offer you, that's not your answer. Money's not going to help you. Think all these things aren't going to help you. You need Jesus. And so I find it very symbolic and very appropriate that the only gate that didn't have silver and gold, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have. Even this door doesn't have silver and gold, but this door is beautiful, and it's a door that opens to the kingdom of God. Would you like to walk in? Would you like to have Jesus Christ? See, that's what God's offering you today if you don't know Him. And that's what God has offered all of us, and that's what this man here is being offered right now. It's not the things of the world that will make you happy. It's not the silver and the gold. Again, that can be a blessing, and there's nothing wrong in that, and God does that from time to time, but that's not going to fill the heart. Talk to wealthy people. Does the money alone fill their heart? Absolutely not. Maybe a year or two. You know, because it can be exciting and thrilling by what you can do with that. But when it comes to living life and looking toward death and looking toward the future, it means nothing. It's got to be something real. It's got to be a relationship with the Lord. And I love this because, again, you know, Jesus is the door. He's the gate into heaven. He is the beautiful gate. He said, I'm the door. And we have that door to offer for all those that are laying outside of it. You know, we can give them that door. Now, something else I find interesting about this, bronze in Scripture is the medal of judgment. It's the medal of judgment. It represents judgment in Scripture. Here lies this lame man laying at the gate of judgment. Here come Peter and John with the keys and the way into the door or the gate to heaven. Guys, that's us. There's a world out there that is marred, that is laying at the gate of judgment. We hold the keys and the gate to the door of life, that beautiful gate, Jesus Christ, that lets him in the kingdom. We need to be sharing it. Again, structure is great, but this is the action the church is to be taking. And I don't know about you, if you don't have a gift of evangelism, I do not. I get around evangelists. You guys remember Ebo Elder, he popped in again recently. You know, this guy has a gift of evangelism. I love being around them because they can't help themselves but evangelize. They can't help it. It's who they are. It's a gift. They just, no matter where you go, it's like, hey, you know, has anybody shared with you the Lord? It's like, Ebo, that's a gas pump. Oh, yes, thank you. I'm sorry. And you move on. It just comes out in every conversation. I go to eat with Ebo, and we've got two or three people we're leading to Christ. That's exciting to me because for me, I told Ebo, I said, look, I've got to make up my mind. I'm going to share with that guy. I have to make up my mind. I'm going to share with her. I have to make up my mind that I'm going to share. That's called not having a gift of evangelism. But are we supposed to still do it? Yes, the Bible says do the work of an evangelist. So I have to make up my mind and think of it a way and start praying. God, open a door. Ebo just walks up and gospel starts, you know, he starts leading people to the Lord. It's amazing. Now, my point is that, you know, whatever your gift is or whatever your gift is not, guys, we need to, if you have that gift, then continue to operate. It's a beautiful thing. If you don't have it, make a choice to start using it, because if the church is not in action, then what good are we? We've got to be in action and reaching out to people. And so rather than leaving him lying there at this gate of judgment, he grabs him by the hand and says, no more lame excuses, you know, get up. It's time to start walking with the Lord. And I love this because, again, remember the night killer gate. You might think, yeah, but when I share, nobody responds. That seems to be me. I go in the streets. I go to the mall. And when I share, very rarely, sometimes people come to the Lord. I remember we did an outreach thing recently on the down here downtown in, you know, the little Market Square area. And I'm thinking, all right, Lord, you know, let's go. I start sharing with people, you know, and you have to, again, make that choice. I'm going to go witnessing. I'm going to share with people. And I'm thinking, nobody's going to, I even told somebody before we left, I said, probably if anybody leads somebody to the Lord tonight, it will be everybody but me. Because God is, you know, again, teaching the word I can do, but it just doesn't seem to flow evangelistically. I had a couple walk up to me and almost tell me to lead them to the Lord in prayer. It was, I just stood there. They walked up and they were like, you know, hey, we need to know Jesus. I'm like, you need to know Jesus. Your kid, where are you? Is this a joke almost, you know? So I prayed with them. They both gave their life to the Lord right there. And God spoke to my heart and said, leave it up to me. You just share. Don't be telling people God's not going to use you, Mark. Stop telling. Just do it. And if they're going to come to the Lord, they're going to come to the Lord. If they don't, they don't. Why do I say this? I have no idea. No, I really do. I really do. It took, as I said, 20 men, get this, 20 men to open the Nicanor gate. Guys, you might be number 3 out of their 20. You might be number 7 out of their 20. You might be number 19 out of their 20. In other words, throughout people's life, God sends people to try to open the gate. Hey, has anybody shared the Lord with you? Oh, man, I shared. Nobody responded. Don't worry, you were number 11. Oh, really? Yeah, keep going. And throughout their life, throughout my life, God sent people to me to share with me. And finally, when I hit, and this 20 is not the magic number, okay? I'm using the symbolism here. God has a certain amount of people who keep sending to us until finally we give in. And one of these days, you're going to run into number 20 like I did on Market Square. I had two number 20s right there. I was the 20th man to push on the Nicanor gate, the beautiful gate. And they both went, how do we know the Lord? We want to come in. I'm like, welcome. And there's nothing more exciting than that. But don't think because you're not number 20 pushing the gate open and leading him to the Lord that being number 9, 10, or 11 has not done just as much work because somebody had to be used to lead him to Christ. God is using you. Just share and leave it up to the Lord what the response is and what the details are. I love it. So reaches out. Notice this. Rise up and walk, verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I love it. Luke was a doctor. And in verse 7 here, we have specific doctor terms, medicinal terms. This is more than just the guy was able to stand. It literally says in the language here that the bone went back into socket. This was a supernatural thing where the bone just went right back into the socket. This guy's foot straightened, and all of a sudden he was able to stand and leap. And notice not only did he have strength, he says in verse 8, he was leaping. He stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Now there's a double miracle going on here that I don't want you to miss. The first miracle is that God supernaturally healed him. But the second miracle is this guy was able to walk without falling or training. You know, walking is something you have to learn to do. Even as a baby, we learn to walk. And when people have accidents, they have to go back and relearn to walk. It's something you train the brain to do. So God did for this man. He completely healed him and gave him the ability to walk. And not even just walk. Notice here, he began to leap and to begin to jump and praise the Lord, which, by the way, is a very normal response when God works in a great way in your life. You're excited. And notice, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, this is powerful because sometimes people say to me, Mark, when I give my life to the Lord, my family didn't believe and my friends didn't believe. Do you think they see a difference in me? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can't see a miracle like that and not see the difference. But it doesn't mean that they're going to just give their life to the Lord that day. Some might. Most will not. You simply continue to live that testimony. They see that your life is different. I remember people from my past saying, Mark, how do you do that? You used to be this way, now you're doing that. And I didn't even realize how I'd changed in those areas. This area this one person was asking about, I didn't know I'd changed in that area. And then I thought about it and said, wow, I have really pretty radically changed in that area. I could have had two answers. Well, you know, a lot of hard work and devotion. Right. Simply was a work of the Holy Spirit. I had nothing to do with it. God is changing me. It's by His power. And by His might. And now they all see that God is changing this man. By God's power and by God's might, it's undeniable. And I love it when God touches someone in such a way that it's just so undeniable. You know, that there it is. It's in front of you. You've got to believe. And so there he was. And they saw it. Notice verse 10. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging of alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Literally, it means it blew their minds. It comes with the idea of just being so out of your mind, you can't believe what you're experiencing. We saw this man begging for all these years. Everyone knows he couldn't walk. Suddenly he's jumping up and down and praising and giving God glory. We know who he is. What an amazing change. And again, what a testimony when God changes us and people see our lives so radically changed. It's a testimony to the Lord. It's powerful. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And of course, he's grabbing Peter and John because he's excited. And he's making a mistake that a lot of people do that don't understand the Lord yet. He's giving them the credit. And we're going to see that he's looking to them, and the people begin to look to them, and they're all amazed because of what has happened. They're clinging to Peter and John, and we're going to see that Peter grabs right onto this and realizes, whoa, 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 this is not about me. I have done nothing. This is the Lord working in your life. And we're going to see Peter do that. Now, I have had the pleasure over the years of seeing God use me to impact people's lives. When God uses you that way, because as a teacher of the Bible, there's no way, I mean, somebody's going to be affected. It's not because of me. Somebody's going to be affected because the word's being shared. And a lot of times when that happens, people want to look to the person and say, well, you know, you're the one that did this, you did that. No, it's simply God working in your life. I have the privilege, or the person sharing with you, or wherever you are, they have the privilege of being used by the Lord at that moment in your life, but God is loving you, don't you see? It's not that people aren't loving you, but the Lord has chosen to love you, and he's now doing it through the people around you. And Peter recognizes this, and notice he's got to squelch it really quick. So Peter, when he saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or this is the main thing. Look at this. Why look so intently at us? And I have us underlined. As though by our own power or godliness, we made this man walk. It's not because I pray so much. It's not because I go to church so much. It's not because I'm so godly. God just touched your life. And I got the privilege of being a part of it. It's not about us. And so Peter has to correct this really quickly because, again, people giving him the glory. And yet how many today, when God uses them, they try to get the glory for themselves? I mean, you know, you see the ministries, you know, if somebody ever gets healed, you know, it becomes their healing ministry or their this or that or whatever. And the attention is often drawn to them. Where's the attention supposed to be? You know, on the Lord. And this would have been a great time for Peter to start, you know, healing lame man ministries with Peter and John. You know, and here's our healing lame man pastors. Peter and John, come on up. Let's thank them for being here today. Healing ministries. Wait a minute. What power do Peter and John have? Zero. Nothing. It's the power of the Lord. Thankfully, God used them. But they're not the ones with the power. Now, can you imagine? Some of you have had surgery. And when your surgery's done, I hear the doctor say, you know, it really went great. The surgery was fantastic, and I couldn't have gone any better. I mean, we either got it all, or we fixed the problem, or we do whatever. I'm just excited to let you know there's going to be a full recovery. You're kidding? No. Can I please see the scalpel? What? Can I go see the scalpel? I just want to see it. What? And I take off running down the hall looking for it. It's on that tray. There it is. You're the scalpel. Look how shiny you are. You did this to me. You did this. Thank you, scalpel. Thank you. I feel so much better. I couldn't have done anything without you. They'd look at you like you're a nut. And yet, is that not what we do when God uses someone as a vessel in our life? It's God. God uses people, and that's fun, isn't it? But it's not the people. We're scalpels. That's all we are. We're sutures. God uses it. God is the one who picks up the instrument and makes it better. God is the one who works. He's got to get the glory. And Peter realizes that. Isaiah 42:8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. It all goes to the Lord. And I think that there can be years at the beginning, I know there was for me, where you understand that mentally and you say that, you say it, but then there's got to be that maturity transfer where you really realize it. You know, that God is doing a work and he's letting you be a part of it. And it's exciting. And you thank the Lord and you give him praise. You know, I think some of the best gifts I've received throughout my life have been sneak attacks that I didn't know where it came from. I can think of times where Tracy and I, you know, especially early on in the ministry, where we needed finances. There'd be a financial situation or whatever, you know, and you don't have a lot of money. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple hundred dollars shows up. And there's no name on it. Just wanted you to know I'm thinking about you, Joe, you know. And that wouldn't be wrong if Joe did that, would it? But you know, when you get that envelope or that event takes place and you don't know where it came from, you know what hits you really hard and fast? You know where it came from. It wasn't the scalpel. It was the Lord. And my response has always been, thank you, Lord. You are so good to me. Thank you. And God now begins to get the praise. And so, now don't get weird with that and you give somebody a card, you know, I'm not telling who this is. There's nothing wrong in loving each other and letting each other know you love them and saying, I'm giving you a gift because here I love you and there's a gift. That's a beautiful thing and we need to do that. I'm just talking about when we do ministry, what a blessing it is to learn how to give the glory to the Lord. Isn't that a great thing? Because God gets all the glory. That's what the Bible says. The Lord is the one who's to get all the glory. He says, you're looking at us. He says, verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. So now he begins to hit him hard, saying, you guys helped him putting Jesus to death. But he's going to tell him the good news now. You know, first he gives them the bad news. He's going to give them the good news that they can be forgiven. And, you know, oftentimes we have to give the bad news before the good news will even be received. They've got to hear they have a need. We have to hear that we're sinners. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the Just One and asked for a murderer. You know, remember Barabbas, to be granted to you. You wanted a murderer set free and you killed God. You killed the Prince of Life. Isn't that interesting? Is the Prince of Life and man put him to death? Wow. Whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. You couldn't keep him down. We saw him raised from the dead. So he's laying the gospel on thick now. And his name, through faith in his name, he has made this man strong, whom you see and whom you know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Again, giving him credit where credit is due. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did your rulers. You know, they didn't know any better. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that is the Bible, that the Christ would suffer, he is thus fulfilled. See, here's the key. Look, I know that you haven't believed in Jesus up till now, and you've lived this way in ignorance, but you can see that the Bible's true. Everything the Bible says is coming to pass. The Bible said Jesus would resurrect from the dead. He resurrected from the dead. So we begin to share the Bible with them and show them it's true, it's real. You need to believe. You've been ignorant long enough. You've not believed long enough, but now you can see it's true. He says, you need to believe. You need to lay down again the lame excuses. Repent, therefore. That's what they need to do, what we need to do. Now here's what we tell them. Repent. You know, turn from your sin, in other words, therefore, and be converted. Come over to Christ, that your sins may be blotted out. And note this, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Anyone here need times of refreshing? Repent. If you've got sin in your life, turn from it, being a believer or non-believer. If you're a non-believer, repent of your sin, receive Jesus today as Lord, and you'll have times of refreshing, and you'll gain the kingdom of God. If you're a believer and you've been living in sin and you need refreshment, repent. Say, God, forgive me. God, wash me. I was repenting this morning. I'm praying in my prayer time. God, forgive me. That God begins to show me things that I'm doing. I need to ask forgiveness. I'm like, Lord, my attitude, my heart, my this, my that. God, I know I stink. You know it. Forgive me. And the good news is, you know what he says? All right. You're forgiven. I love it. And then we turn from it, you know? So repent, be converted, that times are refreshing. And the refreshment comes when we do that. God gives us refreshment. Notice that he may also, and that he may send Jesus Christ, whom was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. That is when the Lord comes back and restores the earth and takes his throne, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatever he says to you. He says, this is Jesus. That's what Moses was prophesying about. He was the one. And verse 23, it shall be that every soul that will not hear, and here comes the warning. There's the good news. He does it reverse. Last time he gave the bad news and the good news. Now he gives the good news and the bad news. It's like a warning. Notice this. If you don't receive him, it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet, that is Jesus, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Well, I haven't really rejected Jesus. I just hadn't received him. The Bible says if you don't receive him, you have rejected him. So it's not an active rejection that has to be taken. It's simply not receiving him. The Bible says if we do that, we're going to stay under judgment. We're going to still be laying there at the Nicanor gate, the gate of judgment, rather than entering into that forgiveness. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who followed, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He's saying, look, you're the descendants of Abraham, and through your line the Messiah was promised. You have a special place with God. Notice to you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Why you first? The Bible says that the Messiah came to the Jew first and then the Gentile. It doesn't mean we're not included. He's come for all of us, hasn't he? But the message was to the Jew first. He says he sent him to you to bless you. Instead, you put him to death. But he was sent to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Guys, as we finish this today, listen, here's the thing. Are you lying at the gate of judgment with all your lame excuses as to why you can't enter into the kingdom of God this morning? Are you yet still an unbeliever and you're lying there and you're thinking, hey, I'm going to come to church and get what I can get. Maybe there'll be a cute girl and she'll be nice because she goes to church. Or, you know, maybe there'll be a potluck afterwards and I'll get a meal out of it. Or whatever the case might be. Listen, if that's the case, you're just lying at the Nicanor gate. You're lying at the beautiful gate, the gate of bronze, a gate that is simply a place of judgment. What God wants you to hear this morning is right now, as we grab your hand as a body of Christ and say, rise up and walk. Walk in the name of Jesus. You can enter through the beautiful gate, but here's what you've got to do. You've got to confess your sin and you've got to repent of your sin. If that's you, I want to urge you to do that this morning.
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Acts. From the inspiring faith of Stephen, to walking through Paul's conversion, to observing how the early church grew and thrived, there's much more to gain from this eventful book. Jesus had promised to send a helper, and he certainly delivered in sending his Spirit to overflowing in these new Christians. It must have been an exciting and also very challenging period of time that these men and women were getting to be a part of. If there was something in this message that you need to hear again, you can go to thewaymedia.net and navigate to Come to the Table to listen to, or download this or other messages. You can also download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. If you're a prayer warrior, we very much value your consistent prayers during this study through Acts. God can do mighty things through the faithful prayers of those who seek after him. We're earnestly expecting him to do big things in and through this radio ministry. We're thankful for your prayers, and we're trusting God to use this platform to get the word out and for it to spread like wildfire. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Acts, so we hope you'll be able to join us next time. We look forward to what will be shared about these people of faith and the trials and triumphs they faced as they walk out their lives in a way that sought to honor God. May these accounts inspire you to do the same and to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.